Good morning. Can you all hear me down the back? Good. Thumbs up. This morning's reading is from Matthew 21, verses 1 to 13. The triumphal entry. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers."
Before John shares the message, I'd like to pray for him. God, we come before you and we are here with open ears, our hearts mold for your words. And while John preaches your word, we want you to bless his tongue. He might not speak by his own, but with the Spirit. Whatever you guide him, he may lead us with that. Amen.
Amen. First of all, can you all hear me? Anybody not? Great. We're going to look at this passage from Matthew about Palm Sunday. Birthdays, they're a special day, aren't they? Remembered by friends and family with presents and cards. If you have your diaries with you, by the way, do put down June the 9th. That's my birthday. But we remember special occasions and special days with different presents, don't we? Easter with Easter eggs, Christmas with cards and presents, Good Friday with hot cross buns, Valentine's Day with cards, yes, even I send them at my age, Bonfire Night with fireworks, Palm Sunday today with a palm cross. But what have I said to you today? Happy Palm Sunday, and gave you a palm cross. And I also said, Happy Easter, and gave you an Easter egg. And also a Christmas card, and said Happy Christmas. You probably think this old tabloid journalist has gone senile. He's past his sell-by date. This old editor needs to go into a quiet, darkened room and just pull himself together. But what if I explained I'm giving you three presents because Palm Sunday is an important day for Christians? It's a day that underlines the whole life of Jesus, the whole importance of his life, by celebrating three important events: Christmas, Palm Sunday, and Easter. 2,000 years ago, on that Palm Sunday in Jerusalem, the crowds were also remembering three important festivals. The disciples and followers of Jesus were remembering Palm Sunday, when the servant king, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. The Jews there were celebrating Passover, commemorating the Hebrews' liberation from slavery in Egypt by the Egyptian leader, the Pharaoh, which we all know about from Exodus. But suddenly, on those two occasions, the crowd suddenly thought of a third event. The events made them think of Hanukkah, which is an annual festival celebrated even today at the end of November or December every year by the Jews. It is the annual festival when the Jews remember throwing out an invading force and regaining their freedom in 165 BC. Let me explain a little more about the two festivals. Firstly, Passover, which started this year, last night at sundown, and ends after nightfall next Sunday, is a holiday commemorating the Hebrews' liberation from slavery in Egypt. In order to protect the firstborn children, the Israelites marked their doors with lamb's blood, so the angel of death would pass over them, hence the name Passover. It's also known as the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because the Israelites had to flee so quickly they didn't have time for their bread to rise. The Israelites, as we all know, were ultimately freed from slavery in Egypt and wandered in the desert for 40 years before making it to the Promised Land and Jerusalem. But what's the festival of the dedication, or Hanukkah? In 168 BC, the Greek Empire ruled the ancient world after Alexander the Great beat the Persians, obviously Iran today. The Greeks wanted everyone to adopt the customs and standards of the Greek world and use the Syrians and the tyrant Antiochus Epiphanes to enforce the Greek way of life on the Jews. They banned the Jewish Sabbath, they banned circumcision, they enforced pagan worship in the temple, they ordered sacrifice and prostitution in the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. The Jews were appalled. In 167, the Jews revolted under the guerrilla leader Judas Maccabeus, who attacked the superior occupying army with a brilliant victory in 165 BC. How did Judas Maccabeus, the soldiers and the crowds march into Jerusalem and the temple on that glorious victory? They came waving palm branches. How did Jesus' followers welcome him into Jerusalem? They waved palm branches. Judas Maccabeus freed the Jews, then cleansed the temple, restored the Jewish religion, God is the Jewish religion, and ordered the Jews to remember that occasion every year with the annual Feast of Dedication. And what did Jesus do after Palm Sunday? He cleansed the temple of the money changers and all the corruption, just like Judas Maccabeus. The Jews were overjoyed at all this, and they made Judas Maccabeus their king, a hero on a par with King David and King Solomon. The dynasty lasted nearly 200 years when the Romans came to power and occupied Jerusalem and the land. They made Herod their puppet king. But who did Herod marry? A princess from the family of Judas Maccabeus. Suddenly, a thought struck the crowd. Here we are, remembering the Feast of the Passover, when God set us free from Pharaoh and slavery in Egypt, so we could enter the Promised Land. Today it's just like the Festival of Dedication, or Hanukkah, when Judas Maccabeus set us free from the occupying Egyptians and Syrians and gave us back the Jewish temple and our Jewish religion. Suddenly, the crowd thought, surely not. But can Jesus be this new true king that God has promised us? Not that puppet King Herod. Has our Messiah arrived as our Old Testament tells us will happen? Has Jesus come to overthrow the Roman occupiers in our promised land and make us free again? Are we going to be rid of this Roman tyranny? Let's get out the palm branches and celebrate. No wonder emotions were high in Jerusalem during Passover week. But things were not going to work out as the Jews planned. Firstly, note three things about Jesus. Firstly, his courage. Jesus knew full well he was entering a hostile city. The authorities hated him and vowed to eliminate him. Many would have considered discretion the better part of valour. And if they'd come to Jerusalem like Jesus, they'd have slipped in under the cover of darkness or kept prudently to the back streets. But Jesus entered centre stage and flung down the gauntlet, challenging the authorities to do their worst. Secondly, Jesus' claim. It shows us that Jesus' claim to be the Messiah was true, God's anointed one. If Jesus had been content to be just a prophet, he probably never needed to have died. But we must receive him as king or not receive him at all. Thirdly, Jesus' appeal. It was not the kingship of the throne, he claimed. It was the kingship of the heart. He came humbly, riding on a donkey. He came in peace. The King of Peace was here. It was the last invitation to men and women in Jerusalem that day, not to open their palaces, but to open their hearts to him. But the crowds were going to be disappointed. The day of the three festivals were not going to end as the Jews wanted and expected, as we shall find out. Putting together the events of Holy Weeks, I've written a diary based on the Gospels and what happened in that Holy Week. I've entitled it Diary of Peninnah, a Passover Pilgrim, and I'll tell you the events of Holy Week through the eyes of that Passover pilgrim, Peninnah. Sunday, Palm Sunday, what an unforgettable day that was. Crowds were in Jerusalem to mark the Passover festival. Remember when God, through Moses, led the Israelites out of slavery under Pharaoh into the promised land. Suddenly the mood of the crowd changed when they saw Jesus ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. They saw a political opportunity. The place was packed with thousands and thousands and thousands of pilgrims. Jesus was the talk of the town. They could make Jesus king. Jerusalem was there for the taking. All Jesus had to do and say, to say that he was ready to lead the uprising. There were enough people there to support him. Their sheer numbers would overpower the Roman soldiers in the city. And there'd be no time to bring Roman reinforcements in from Caesarea Philippi, their base outside Jerusalem. Then the Jews began to wave palm branches, just as they did when Judas Maccabeus rode into Jerusalem in 167 BC. He led the successful Jewish revolt against the occupying army. Judas Maccabeus was crowned king. Everybody understood palm branches were nothing to do with Passover. Monday, everything is still going well. Today, Jesus cleansed the temple, kicking out the money changers and stallholders. That upset a few people, but the crowds cheered and shouted their support. They remembered Judas Maccabeus had cleansed the temple in 167 and restored Jewish worship. That is what people expect of their king, the Messiah. We were going to be free of our Roman oppressors at last, because our Messiah had arrived. Tuesday, this was the day it started to go horribly wrong. The PR dream turned into a PR nightmare rapidly. Firstly, the chief priest, the teacher of the law, the elders challenged Jesus in the temple, saying, "By what authority are you doing these things?" Jesus dealt with that, but I began to get a little worried. These were powerful people, the Jewish religious leaders. You don't mess with them. You need them on your side. That afternoon, Jesus told the parable of the vineyard and the wicked tenants. I thought Jesus was brave, but so foolhardy. The Jewish religious knew that the story was aimed at them. They were furious, but they couldn't do anything about it, as they were afraid of the huge crowds who were still pro-Jesus, so they left him alone. But then doubts began to creep in when a couple of Greeks approached Philip and said to Jesus, we'd like to see Jesus. They met Jesus, who told them he was about to die. That upset, mystified and frustrated the crowd. Many said, our law teaches us the Messiah remains forever. That can't be right. Then in the evening, things took a turn for the worse. While Jesus talked to his disciples on the Mount of Olives, opposite the temple, one of his followers, Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests, promising to betray Jesus when the crowds weren't around. This delighted the Jewish religious leaders. They rewarded him with 30 pieces of silver. I knew it was a bad thing to antagonize the religious leaders with those parables. Why didn't Jesus keep a low profile and let the crowds do the rest? Wednesday. It was a rest day. I did my washing that morning. I believe Jesus went to Bethany, a couple of miles away, to spend time with his disciples. You see, he was staying there with friends because all the Passover pilgrims meant that there was not a bed for everybody in Jerusalem, and thousands had to stay in the villages all around Jerusalem. Thursday, now the black clouds are gathering. Jesus spends more time with his disciples at the Last Supper in the upper room. A friend told me what happened next. I knew there was going to be trouble. I kept well out of the way. Late that Thursday evening, Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. Jesus was sweating, praying, pleading about the future. Even the disciples didn't know what to do. They kept well out of the way and then fell asleep. They were that tired. Then Judas appeared out of the gloom of the night in the garden with a crowd armed with swords and cudgels. They'd been sent there by the chief priests, the scribes and the elders to arrest Jesus when the crowds were not there, which is what they did. All the disciples and followers soon fled. Friday. If Thursday was bad, Friday was many, many times worse. Jesus is tried first by the Jews and then the Roman authorities. Many people testified falsely against Jesus. Even one of his closest friends, Peter, disowned him. That must have hurt them most. I was shocked when the crowd shouted at Pontius Pilate, the top Roman official in Judea, that they wanted the rebel leader Barabbas freed and Jesus, the King of the Jews, crucified him. Aren't crowds fickle? Only a few days earlier, they were cheering Jesus. Now they wanted him put to death. The scene got even more sickening as everybody joined in. The soldiers began to mock Jesus, putting a purple robe on him, twisting together a crown of thorns and taunted him. Hail, King of the Jews! They struck him on the head again and again, spat at him, mocked at him, by kneeling in front of him, pretending to pay homage, before leading him to be crucified. And then they threw dice to sort out who's had his clothes. They forced Simon from Cyrene to carry the cross, which had a notice on it saying, the King of the Jews. Some of the crowds tried to get Pilate to say instead, this man claimed to be the King of the Jews. I'm glad to say Pilate refused that request. Next, one of the two revolutionaries crucified beside Jesus taunted him, aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. Crowd curled insults, saying to Jesus, so you're the man who's going to pull down the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Save yourself. Come down from the cross. The soldiers joined in again, offering him drugged wine, saying, if you're the King of the Jews, save yourself. The religious rulers sneered. He saved others, but he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, let the King of Israel come down now from the cross. If we see that, we'll believe he is the Messiah. However, not everybody joined in the mocking and jeering. There were the women who were watching from a distance. I don't know where the male disciples and followers of Jesus were. They'd run away in the Garden of Gethsemane. Most hadn't been seen since, but the women were there. You can count on them when you need them in a crisis, I promise you. They impressed me with their quiet loyalty, bravery and devotion. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, Mary the mother of Clopas and Salome. The crowds all knew who they were, but they left them. They left them alone in their grief and sadness. But the most amazing reaction was from a Gentile, of all people. A Roman centurion, no less. He was tough. There was no messing with him. He was a man who'd seen life and death. He'd watched hundreds of crucifixions. And I can't believe it, but he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." That made me think. My reaction? I did hope, perhaps right to the end, Jesus would get down from the cross and show everybody he is the King of Kings, the Son of God. I really did. I knew he could do it. But it's only many weeks later, when it was explained to me, I realised why he didn't come down from that cross. And it's because Jesus did not come down from the cross that I now believe in him. As King of the Jews, he had to stay on the cross. That is what he'd come on earth to do. You see, if Jesus had refused the cross or come down from the cross, it would have meant there was a limit to God's love. That he was not prepared to suffer for all men and all women. He died so we may all be restored to a proper relationship with God. When I look at that cross again, Jesus is saying to me and to everyone else, God, he loves us with a love that is limitless, a love that will bear every suffering earth has to offer. Now I'm glad the King of the Jews didn't get down from that cross, and as I and the crowd wanted him to. What I thought was a PR disaster was actually a PR success. Anyway, I must get back to my family now. Guess what? It's lamb again for supper tonight. After the 5 days of the Passover, even I'm getting bored with it. Still, after a dramatic week of events, it should be a quiet weekend. After the Sabbath, I'm going to go and see my cousin and we'll talk all about all the events of this week. I don't think I'll have much to report in my diary for the Saturday and Sunday. Surely, those 2 days can't be as dramatic as the first part of Passover week, can they?